Morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos is Nun Tes. We are on the Mishnah Nun Ches Amud Beis. Thank the Lumen Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lulun Zechon Ishmael Chlibak Avayel Bashmuel. Magdish Masi Yadei Ishto. A person sanctifies the Masi Yadayim of his wife. As we've been discussing over the course of the fifth parak of the Masechta, there are obligations that a husband has to his wife and a wife has to her husband. And we already learned back on Memchas, thereabouts, that the Chachamim instituted, back in Memzayin and Beis. So the Chachamim instituted a number of reciprocal obligations that a husband has to wife and a wife has to a husband, and basically the Chachamim created a link between the two of them. It's almost like an exchange. So I give you this, you give me that. I give you this, you give me that. So we're talking now about Masi Adam. Masi Adam are earnings. So she does whatever work. In other words, work over here, not necessarily business. Work over here means that she's productive. She's in the house. We'll see later on. She's knitting. She's sewing. But she's doing something. She's doing something productive. So that Masi Adayim, her productivity goes to her husband. And in lieu of that, in exchange of that, so the husband sends mazonos to the wife. He sends food to the wife. And that's one of the exchanges that we discussed earlier. So in other words, so she's creating, she's being productive, she's making things, and in exchange, he gives her mazonos. Okay, that's the starting point of this Mishnah. And then the Mishnah doesn't even mention that, because in other words, we're supposed to know that already. Then the Mishnah discusses a scenario where he's makdish, meaning he decides, you know what, I want to give something to the Beis HaMikdash, so I'm going to sanctify. Sanctification of an item, ma'ahektish of an item, means that you're taking it from your Rishus and you're putting it into the Rishus of the Beis HaMikdash. It's now property of the Beis HaMikdash. So what does he want to be makdish? Masi Deishto, the earnings of his wife. So in other words, productivity of his wife, so he's going to be makdishim. Hareza osa v'ochelas. So the Mishnah says, it's okay. Her Masi Adim do not become kadosh, they don't become sanctified, they're hers, they're not his, and therefore she can continue eating it. Now, it only is going to beg the question, there are really two questions that it begs over here. Number one, well, first of all, the Mishnah says it doesn't become kadosh. So obviously, we need to ask the first basic question, which is, well, why doesn't it become kadosh? Meaning, it belongs to him, he has an entitlement. The Chachamim allowed him to get the Masi Adim. So that's question number one. Question number two, which we're going to be discussing, it's going to be a big theme in today's daf, and that is that he's being mocked to something that doesn't yet exist in the world. This is what's called the Davar Shelo Bo La'olam. We know, it's one of the more popular discussions that comes up in the Gemara again and again. Can a person consecrate something that does not belong to him? So it's a Davar Shelo Bo La'olam. So does the person have the ability to be mocked to Davar Shelo Bo La'olam? Okay, that's also going to be another issue which we're going to be discussing over the course of the Gemara. But in the meantime, however, let's just familiarize ourselves first with the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that he's makdish or masi adayim. It's nothing. It doesn't affect it whatsoever. Hamosar. Now, another thing we haven't learned yet, but let's introduce ourselves to this idea now. And that is that there's a base amount and there's an additional amount. Meaning that her productivity goes to her husband. Okay, that's the masi adayim. There's productivity in two stages. Number one, there's a base amount. We're going to learn later on, really we'll learn it tomorrow's daf, that the base amount of what she needs to produce for her is 5 slime. Okay, it's in the Mishnah, it's coming up in the Mishnah. Anyway, let's just call it a base amount without getting involved in the details and the numbers. And then, anything above and beyond. What the Mishnah here is referring to as Mosar. So the base amount, says the Gemara, is totally unaffected. That's hers, and that doesn't become kadosh. But what about if she creates more than the base amount? So she creates mosar in addition to the base amount. Rabbi Meir, Omer Hektish, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Amar Chulin. So we have a machlokus in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, whether the mosar becomes hektish or whether it's chulin. Okay. Obviously, at this juncture of the Mishnah, we don't really understand yet. Well, what the machlokas is, so stay tuned. Later this morning, we're going to see the Gemara, and we're going to get a much better idea of what they're debating. So, I'm Rav Huna, I'm Rav. But first, we start with the Gemara, and we start with the basic halacha, and that is as follows. Yechola isha lomar labala, ein in his own, is veinu osa. A woman can say the following to her husband, look, the chachamim are out to protect me. I get it, I understand. Meaning that really the way that the Chachamim orchestrated the marriage is that I'm going to do productivity, and as a result of that, you're going to feed me. Good. A woman could say to her husband, look, let's enter into the marriage with the following. I'm going to keep my Masi Adayim, and you don't have to feed me. In other words, she could just simply demur. She could say, I know the Chachamim are interested in protecting me, and in the marriage they obligate you to feed me, and my productivity goes in exchange for that. I'm going to keep my productivity, you'll keep your mizonos. And Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, a woman can opt in if she wants to. Or I should say rather not opt in, but rather opt out. Meaning she doesn't have to collect the mizonos and she keep her ma'asei adayim. For example, very simple to imagine, let's say she happens to be extraordinarily productive, and let's say that for her, her ma'asei adayim is worth much more than the mizonos, so she can opt out. This is the halacha that's said by Rav. Yechol isha lomar labalayin in mizon feinosa. Kasavar kitakin rabban mizon ikar u'ma'asei adayim ishameva. So the Gemara says, what's that root over here of this halacha? Is that really mizonos is ikar? Meaning, when the Chachamim legislated this exchange in a marriage, really at the core of this exchange is that the Chachamim wanted her to be fed by her husband. Meaning that's really at the core of the exchange. And then, so there'd be no animosity between husband and wife. So then the Chachamim said, okay, the husband's giving you the food, he's feeding you every day, so you know what, take your masi adayim and give it to your husband. But really at the core of that is mizonos. V'chi amrein in mizonos ve'no'osa rishos bi'ada. And therefore, in other words, because of the core of the exchange is mizonos, so she can opt out. She could say, look, I'm not interested in the mizonos. And once I am rejecting the mizonos, so then I don't have to give him my masi adayim. Good. That is the halacha set over by Rav. So first of all, the Gemara is bothered. Meisvei. We're now going to quote the Gemara back on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Tiknu Mizonos Takas Masi Adah. It says that Mizonos was instituted in exchange for Masi Adah. Just the way that's phrased, it sounds like the real core of this exchange is Masi Adayim, and that the Masi Adayim go to the husband, and in exchange for that comes the Mizonos in her direction. If that's the way to understand it, so then she can't reject it. Meaning the beginning of the obligation is she got to give her ma'asei adayim to her husband. So ema tiknu ma'asei adayim tachem mizonos. So Gemara says, okay, I understand the way the brayse is formulated doesn't work out so well, but you know what we're going to do? Don't get caught up in the order of the brayse. Really, just the brayse's point is that there's an exchange. Food for productivity. That's the exchange. And then in terms of what's really the core of the exchange, what's at the heart of it? Food. Meaning the Chachamim wanted her to be fed. So therefore that's at the heart of it. And then in exchange for the food, she'll give her ma'asei adayim to her. If she wants to reject the food, she has every right to do so. Once again, the Gemara is defending the halacha of Rav Huna Marav. Lema Misayele, the Gemara says, okay, what about this? This will be a support. Okay, now we turn to our Mishnah. Now, again, what happened in our Mishnah? In the Mishnah, the husband wanted to consecrate the earnings of his wife. What did the Mishnah say? Nothing doing. The earnings of his wife do not get any type of status. So my love benizonis. So the Gemara says, now, aren't we talking about a husband who, now I know the Gemara says nizonis over here, but the Gemara really means by that is the husband has the ability to support his wife, and she just simply says, nah, I'm not interested. So now, if that's true, so the husband has the ability to support his wife, and she's rejecting it, so what does it sound like? If we're right, sounds like the husband has the ability, sorry. Sounds like the woman has the ability to reject it. Again, that's assuming for right. So the Gemara says, B'shein and Nizonis. So the Gemara says, no, maybe the Mishnah is talking about the following scenario. Maybe the Mishnah is describing a scenario where the husband simply doesn't have the means. Meaning that the husband is in a situation in life where he can't support his wife. Now, in general, in other words, I guess we'll talk more about it later in the Masechta. If the husband can't support a wife, is that where are they in terms of the marriage? Meaning, is that grounds for divorce? So that's we'll discuss more of that later in the Masechta. But in the meantime, however, just in terms of understanding our Mishnah, the Gemara now is suggesting that maybe the right way to understand our Mishnah is that the husband doesn't support his wife. He can't support his wife. He just doesn't simply make enough money. So Ibishena Nizon is my lamemra. So the Gemara says, okay. So now let's hear the Mishnah. Let's hear the Chiddush of the Mishnah. It's really not much of a Chiddush. Excuse me. It's not much of a Chiddush. Meaning, what's the Mishnah now saying? He's not earning. He's not supporting her. He's not giving her mizonos. Then on top of that, it's a bit of a chutzpah. Then on top of that, the husband now wants to be maktish as masi the yadayim of the wife. He's not sending her mizonos. He's not collecting the masi yadayim. And if he wants to be maktish, the Mishnah says, well, it can't be maktish because it doesn't belong to him. And the reason why it doesn't belong to him is because he's not sending her any mizonos. If all said and done, if that's the pshat in the Mishnah, so really what bothers the Gemara is that's not a chiddush. Of course he doesn't get the masi yadayim if he's not sending her mizonos. So afil aman damar yochel arav lamar lavad alseim ivei nizancha. Now it happens to be that when a person owns an Eved Kenani, he doesn't have to feed the Eved Kenani. But hani mili be Eved Kenani diloksiv be'imach. Now that's true regarding the Eved Kenani, and he could say to the Eved Kenani, now I know this sounds a little callous, but he could say to the Eved Kenani, look, I own you, you'll work for me, and I will feed you, and in terms of food, so you'll figure it out. Meaning, but aval Eved Ivri diloksiv be'imach. Lo. So, but when it comes to an Eved Ivri, you can't do that. In other words, when you have an Eved Ivri, so he's not a slave, he's not the, he's indentured, he can't get out of the job, but he's not a slave, and you can't say to him, look, you'll work for me, and I'm not going to feed you. The Choshek and Ishto, and it's true by the Eved Ivri, it's certainly true by the wife as well. So in other words, there's no Chiddush in the Mishnah. If the Mishnah is describing a scenario where the husband cannot feed her because he just simply is not making enough money to feed her, and the Mishnah is telling us, and therefore the Masi Yadayim don't go to the husband, that's obvious. It's so obvious. Why would the Mishnah need to tell us that? So Sefer Tzirichlei, so the Gemara says no. You're meaning not no, yes, you're right. It is obvious. But maybe what the Mishnah wants to introduce us to is the next point of the Mishnah, which is, okay, he's not going to get her Masi Yadayim. But what about Moser? Meaning, what about anything above Masi Adayim? Rabbi Meir Omer Hekdesh, Rabbi Yochanan Samar Sanla Amar Chulin. I'm sorry. It'll stop. I'm hoping. So that next part of the Mishnah, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, and that's really what the Mishnah wants to teach us. That if he's not supporting her because he can't support her, and of course her Masi Yadayim don't go to her husband, but if she makes anything above and beyond the base amount, so the Gemara says that there's a machlokus whether or not the husband gets it or does not get it. Now, mind you, if we think about this for a moment, realize that that's very true. It's almost disturbing. Meaning, he's not feeding her. She gets to keep her Masi Yadayim. So far, so good. But if she makes anything above and beyond the base amount, well, then we have an opinion, it's not agreed to, but we have an opinion that extra amount goes to the husband. Why should the extra amount go to the husband? Meaning he's not feeding her. She's retaining her base amount. She can't keep the addition as well. She can't keep the moser. So what's behind that opinion? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi does help us understand this a little bit better. Rashi says, Sefer Yitzirichlei, right? If you see the Rashi is a little bit below where we are in the Gemara. Rashi writes, La'ashminim plukta b'mosar. The whole Chiddush of the Mishnah is to tell us about the addition. De'lo shaycha mezonos. Now the addition is not connected to the mezonos. We'll see this later on this morning as well. Meaning that even though it's her productivity, but we break it up really into two components. The base amount and the additional amount. The base amount, in exchange for mezonos. The additional amount, not in exchange for mezonos. So now Rashi is going to explain to us how it's conceivable that even though the base amount of her productivity she gets to keep because her husband's not feeding her, but the additional amount may go to the husband. Now, again, watch Rashi. Oh, Rashi says, here's what's going to happen. Meaning, as long as she's alive, so she gets to keep her Masi Yadayim, both the base amount and the additional as well. However, after she dies, we know the husband inherits the estate of his wife. Okay, so in terms of the Mosar, so what we're entertaining right now is that while she's alive, it's hers. But when she dies, the estate goes to her husband, and as a result of that, the husband may have the right. I say may, because it's a machlokus in the Mishnah. But the husband may have the right to be maktish the Mosar, considering the fact that he's going to inherit it after she dies. That's how we're understanding Mosar.
If he dies penniless, Burial?
No, that was an institution the rabbis had for him, for her. Not for, no, no, no. She doesn't have to bury him. The family's going to bury him. Okay? So upligid reish lakish damar reish lakish lo tema taima dara meir mishum de kasav adamakish avar shalom bala olam. Okay, now, I'm sorry. The adkan, that is one way to understand the Mishnah. So again, the all this came back to a halacha that was said over in the name of Rav, Rav Huna Marav, which is that if a woman wants, she could say to her husband, "You keep your mizonos, I'll keep my masi adayim," and she could do that. And the way that Rav Huna Marav understands the whole exchange of masi adayim and mizonos is that really it's rooted in mizonos, meaning the chachamim told the husband, "You must give her mizonos, and in exchange for that, she'll give you her masi adayim." But if she wants to turn down the mizonos, she has every right to do so. How about our Mishnah? Is our Mishnah going to be evidence for any of that? So right now the Gemara says no, because maybe our Mishnah is talking about a scenario where he doesn't support her, but because he can't support her, because he simply doesn't have the money. That's how to understand the Mishnah, and if that's a way to understand the Mishnah does not speak at all to the lacha of Rav Huna Marav. Let's go on. Upligi de Reish Lakish. Now, this argues with Reish Lakish, Dama Reish Lakish, Lo Tema, Taim and Derab Meir, Mishum Dekasav Ad Amakdish, Davish Lo Abala Olam, Ela Taim and Derab Meir, Mitoch Shiachol HaKofol HaMasi Adeha, Nasa Ka Omer La, Yikachu Yadecha Le Osehem. So, what's behind Rav Meir? Again, Rav Meir in our Mishnah says that the mosar, that the addition that she makes becomes hektish, meaning that the husband can be maktish his wife's mosar. Under what basis? It has nothing to do with the halacha of davar shelo bala olam, which we're going to discuss more later on. So right now I'm just going to gloss right over it. But it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that a man can extract masi adayim out of his wife, and so therefore when we're looking at the masi adayim, so it says if he said yikachu yadecha laosehem, meaning I'm being maktish what? Not that which you are going to create, but I'm not being maktish your hands. Now this gets onto the issue of his ownership, the husband's ownership of his wife's hands. Now obviously he doesn't own the hands, he doesn't own any part of her. But in other words, once the Chachamim enacted that her productivity goes to her husband, so that basically means that anything that her hands create is going to be property of the husband. So it's an interesting idea, the idea the Gemara is expressing right now, where he could be maktish, not her productivity, but rather her hands. So v'halo amar lahachi. So the Gemara says, well, he didn't say that. Meaning, what are we going to do? We're going to interpret his statement, reinterpret his statement. The Gemara says, yeah, that's what we're going to do. Kevin d'shamin l'Rav Meir d'amar ena d'motzi l'dvar v'batala. So we also know that Rav Meir says that when a person says something, he doesn't say something in vain. Meaning, he must have meant something. So what did he mean? So nasekamar lo yidushi yadech lo sehem. Good. So that's what he meant. He meant that he's being maktish his wife's hands, and that is going to be what the husband has the ability to be maktish. Okay. So the comes out that according to Reish Lakish, unlike Rav Huna Marav, according to Reish Lakish, she can't retain her Masi Adayim. Her Masi Adayim belong to him. Now, v'savra meirna damakdish davar shelo bala olam. Then the Gemara gets. We're going to go off on a very short tangent, which is, wait a second, Rav Meir, on the issue of davar shelo bala olam, we know what he says. Now, the issue of davar shelo bala olam is a very simple issue. Can I create any type of transaction whatsoever and something that does not exist in this world yet? Meaning, it's true. Her productivity goes to the husband. And that's true. That's rabbinically legislated. All that's true. But it's not here yet. So where do we stand on this issue? On this issue of davar shelo bala olam? So as we know, time and again we see, it's a machlokas. But as we're about to see, we know where Rav Meir stands on this machlokas. He says, Adam makne davar shelo bala olam. A person can create a kingdom of something that doesn't exist in this world. V'atayin, the Gemara quotes a braisa. Ha'omer li sha'arei ha'mekdeshes l'achashet gayer. So a man goes over to a woman and says, look, I want to be mekadesh you. There's just one small problem, and that is I'm not Jewish. But it's a small problem. It's not a big problem. How about this? I want the kedushin to be chal, right after I convert. Or maybe the other small problem is she's not Jewish. Or let's say she's not freed. Or let's say he's not freed. Or let's say another small problem, and that is she's currently married. Okay, so I'm not being mekadesh you now, obviously. But in other words, at the termination of your marriage, I want this kedushin to be chal. Or let's say another small problem, and that is he's married to her sister. Okay, so after your sister, I can't imagine how this goes over at the Pesach Seder. Well, you know, as this comes up as table conversation. In other words, I'm going to be mekadesh you after the death of the sister. Or let's say your yavam. Is right now your Shomer's Yavam, and you're waiting for your Yavam to do Chalitza to you. Fine, I'm gonna prepay. I'm gonna give you the Kesef Kedushin right now, and then when you're released, so I want it to be Mekadesh you. Rav Meir Omer, Rav Meir says that in every one of these scenarios, Mekudeshes, the Kedushin is a good Kedushin. Obviously, not right now. Because right now, either one of them is not in a state for Kedushin. But if he puts the money down, he gives her the money now. And it says, let it take effect when it can take effect, which is a later point in time. Rameer says it works. You see, it's clear that Rameer holds, just give me a second, Rameer holds that Adam not makna davar shelo ba'al olam, that a person can create a kinyan for something that's not yet in fruition. So, why are we, right now, in our Mishnah, kind of like standing on our head, right? Reish Lakish says, you know what's behind Rameir and our mission? It has nothing to do with Adam Machna Davashlo Bala Olam. Gemara says, I don't understand. We know that Rameir holds Adam Machna Davashlo Bala Olam. It's very clear from the Bryce that we just read. So why is it that he's insistent on giving another pshat in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Me'ahi in Me'ha Lek Al Mishma Mina. Gemara just simply says, look, you're right. Of course you're right. Rameir holds Adam Machna Davashlo Bala Olam. But what I'm telling you is as follows. The Braisa you just quoted me about him not being Jewish, she's not being Jewish, she's currently married, he's married to her sister, whatever the cases are. From that Braisa, there's only but one conclusion. You can create a kinyan for something that's not yet in this world. It's clear. From our Mishnah, however, not so clear. Meaning, you could give an alternative pshat in our Mishnah, and that's exactly Reish Lakish's point. Not only could you, but rather, I do. I do give an alternative pshat in our Mishnah. I think our Mishnah is not predicated on the issue of Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam, although you could explain it that way, but rather, I think it's predicated on the fact that she can't reject the Masi Adayim, she can't stop the Masi Adayim from going to her husband. Those Masi Adayim have to go to her husband. And unlike Rav Huna Merav, who says that she can reject it, Reish Lakish says, no, she cannot. Reish Lakish disagrees with Rav Huna.
What is the basis of Rabbi Meir saying all these are acceptable?
Because even though currently, in the current state right now, she's not available to him, but later on she will be. And all he's doing is just simply laying the groundwork, the foundation of when you do become available to me, so then I want you to, I want to marry you. So it's, in other words, it's a davar shelo ba'al olam. It's no different than, right, let's give a modern example, right, future commodity. So future commodity is when you're buying futures. So what are you doing? You're buying something that's not yet here. Okay, so it's the same thing. Right, correct. And if wheat grows this year, so I'm going to buy it at this amount. So
it's the is not like him, right?
I know where you're going with this, but no, the halacha is that no, the davar ain't adam davar makna davar shelo ba'al olam. That's correct. I knew you were heading that. I saw you were headed. Okay, Hamos Rabbi Meir Omer Hektish. Okay. And now, okay, so far today, very basic discussion in the Gemara about whether or not a wife can reject her husband's mizonos and retain her masi adayim. It's a machlokas amarayim between Rav and Reish Lakish. Okay, the halacha goes like Rav, that a woman can reject her mizonos and keep her masi adayim. What about our Mishnah? So the Gemara says that there are a couple ways to explain our Mishnah, either to defend the halacha of Rav or not to reject the opinion of Reish Lakish. Good. Moving on, now we go to the second half of the Mishnah. Second half of the Mishnah says, again, the first half of the Mishnah says that the husband is attempting to be makdish, his wife's masi adayim, doesn't work in terms of the base amount of her productivity. It simply doesn't work. Again, why should that be? either because she wants to retain her Masi Yadayim, or because her husband simply doesn't have the funds to feed her, and so therefore she's keeping her Masi Yadayim. Either way, good. That's the first half of the Mishnah. Now we turn to the second half of the Mishnah. Now we're talking about the Mosar, the surplus, anything above and beyond the base amount. So there we have a machlokus between Rav Meir and Rav Yochanan Sandler whether or not the husband can be makdish the Mosar. What is going on in that second half of the Mishnah? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, when does it become Kaddosh? Rav Shmuel Dami Tavar, Mosal Acha Misa Kaddosh. So we start off with the opinion of Rav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel says, yeah, the Mosar will become Kaddosh, but do you know when? Not while she's alive, but rather post-mortem. Meaning she dies, her estate's going to go to her husband, then at that point in time it's going to become Kaddosh. Rav Adabra Ava Amar Moser Mechaim Kaddosh. And Rav Adabra Ava says, no, it's going to become Kaddosh even while she's alive. So, Havi Bar Rav Papa, so it's too early to comment yet. We need more information. The Gemara is about to provide. So Rav Papa now thinks about the Mishnah, thinks about this machlokus between Rav and Shmuel and against Rav Adabra Ava, and he says, wait a second, b'mai. Ilem b'mala mezonos ma'ala ma'akesef l'tzarcha. Now once again, the Gemara just threw a curveball, meaning information that we don't know yet. So let's introduce ourselves to this information. A husband weekly has to give his wife mezonos, I mean daily really, but a husband has to give his wife mezonos, and he also has to give his wife ma'akesef. An allowance, some spending money. So these are two obligations that a husband has to give to his wife. So mizonos and ma'akesef. Ma'akesef is literally a silver coin. I know it's. I'm also interested to know how much are we talking about in the modern dollar? Like what is this allowance for? But anyway, but that's what a husband's obligated to give his wife. So, so the Gemara says. This is Rav Papa's analysis of the Machlokas Amorayim, explaining the Machlokas Tanayim. Okay, admittedly, right now, things are going to get a little bit complicated. Not so bad. In other words, in terms of the base amount, we said that the husband can't be Makdish the base amount, and we gave two explanations why that should be. We are now discussing Moser, we're discussing the extra amount. We know in the Mishnah, it's Machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yochanan Sandler, whether or not he can be Makdish or he can't be Makdish. We are now discussing within the opinion of Rav Meir, who says that the Moser becomes Kadosh, when exactly does it become Kadosh? After she dies or even before she dies? So that's that too now is a Machlokas between the Amoraim. Of which now Rav Papa says, what exactly is going on that we're having such a debate? Let's say the husband's giving her everything, meaning everything he's supposed to. He's giving the mezonos and he's giving her ma'akesef. So to which the Gemara says, so then I don't understand. He's giving her everything, so that means that what should the husband be getting in exchange? Everything. Meaning, he should be getting her productivity, her base amount, and also Moser as well. So then, what kind of discussion are we having? Ela ve'ela kishema ala mezonos. So the Gemara says, well, we're talking about a case where he's giving her nothing. He's not giving her mezonos, and he's not giving her ma'akesef. Let's start. So he's not giving her food, he's not giving her a spending allowance. So my time demanda, I'm sorry, my time demanda amar mechaim kadosh. So the Gemara says, well, if he's not giving her anything, so then he's not getting anything in exchange. He shouldn't be getting anything in exchange. So how can you then even consider that according to Rav Meir, her productivity is going to become Kadosh? He's not getting it. And even after she dies, he's not getting it. It doesn't belong to him. So So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to have to split it up. And maybe we're talking about the following scenario. He's giving her mezonos, but he's not giving her a spending allowance. Rav Shmuel Savre, and now we're going to explain both of these opinions. So Rav and Shmuel are both of the opinion, Tiknu Mizonos Tachas Masi Adeha, Ume'akesef Tachas Mosar. We're going to be very specific about the exchange that exists between husband and wife. He gives her Mizonos. In exchange, he gets the base amount of her Masi Adayim. He gives her spending money, an allowance, spending money. He gets in exchange for that the surplus of her productivity. And because he is not giving her the spending allowance, meaning the case we're dealing with is he's giving her mazonos, but not the ma'a kesef. So then Moser didahavi, so therefore the Moser belongs to her. And that's why, according to Rav and Shmuel, so it belongs to her. So how do you understand the opinion of Rav Meir? The Rav Meir says that when a husband is makdish his wife's Moser, it becomes kadosh. Answer, not while she's alive, but because it's not his, but after she dies. Because what happens after she dies? Her estate goes over to him. Fine. That is Rav Shmuel's opinion. And then what is Rav Azar bar Ava's opinion? Rav Gemara, we're on the top of Nuntes Amud Aleph, three lines down. Rav Azar bar Ava savar tikkun mazonos tachas moser. Umeh hakesef tachas ma'aseh yadeh. So Rav Azar bar Ava says, look, I agree, but I cross the arrows. Meaning that when it comes to mazonos, mazonos goes in exchange for her surplus. Her spending allowance goes in exchange for ma'aseh yadayim. V'kevin dekayay v'lei mazonah moser didei havei. And because he's giving her mazonah, so therefore the moser goes to him. Good. That now becomes a machlokas. So when all said and done, really, what's that issue over here between Rav and Shmuel versus Rav Azar bar Ava is just a very basic question of how do you understand the exchange rate between a husband and a wife? From Rav and Shmuel's perspective, the exchange rate is mazonah's food goes in exchange for masiyah dime based amount. Spending allowance goes for most of masiyah dime. According to Rav Azar bar Ava, cross the arrows. Mazonos go in exchange for her mosar, for the surplus productivity, and the spending allowance goes for the base amount of her productivity. And then the Gemara explains this machlokas just a little bit better. So the Gemara says, the Gemara explains it a little bit better. Mar savar midi d'shkech, midi d'shkech, or mar savar midi d'kayetz, midi d'kayetz. How do the Amoraim arrive at their conclusions? So first let's start off with Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel says, we'll go with something which is shchiach. Mizonos, she needs it every day. It's food. So that's a daily need. Her productivity base amount, also. That's regularly produced by the woman. So we'll match shchiach versus shchiach, and we'll match the something which is less shchiach versus something which is less shchiach. Meaning the moser, less common. The spending allowance, also, she doesn't need it as much, I guess is the way we would say it. And now we'll go to Rav Azar bar Ava. What's his position? We'll go with fixed to fixed. We're going to match fixed to fixed. Meaning, when it comes to Moser, what can Moser be? Moser could be any amount. Meaning, that's exactly the point. It's a surplus. So it could be a little surplus, it could be a lot of surplus. And you match that with mizonos. What's mizonos? Exactly. It could, depending on her appetite, depending on how much she needs to eat. As opposed to her base productivity against the spending allowance, base productivity, it's a base amount. Spending allowance, that's also a set amount. So that's why Rav Azar bar Ava feels that they match better. Okay, when all said and done, so that's the machlokas that we have. Meisvei, the Gemara is going to challenge these opinions. Tikkun mazonos tachas ma'aseh yadav. First of all, we're going to quote the Braisa a second time today. The Braisa says that what are we matching in terms of an exchange? Food against productivity. So emas tachas mosar ma'aseh yadav. The Gemara says, okay, what we'll do to defend Rav Azar bar Ava is that we'll just simply either add a word or understand that the word is added. Is that the food is in exchange for Mosar, Tashma. The Gemara says, let's quote another Braisa. If he doesn't give her the spending allowance, so then she gets to keep Masiya dime. Oh, so what does it sound like from that Braisa? It sounds like the quid pro quo is that the spending allowance is against her Masiya dime. So, and that sounds like Rav Azar bar Ava. That's a question against Rav and Shmuel. Ema Mosar Masiya Deshala. So once again, in defense of Rav and Shmuel, the Gemara says that it's a reference to the surplus, meaning we're going to either add the word there or understood that the word should be added over there. V'ala Ketani, the Gemara says, okay, but read on in the Braisa. The Braisa goes on to say, Shisi B'Yehuda. What is the base amount? The base amount is the weight of five salayim of shisi, you know, on the loom, you know, like I know. Anyway, in the loom, there's the vertical and there's the horizontal. The verticals are thinner, the horizontal is thicker. The vertical is called shisi, the horizontal is called erev. Okay, that's all I know. I can't tell you anything more than that. The point is that it's just simply, it's a value. It's a value of what is their base productivity. The weight of 5 salaim of shisi, of the vertical, of the loom, in Yehuda. All right, this is, we're going to, not that's going to help me, but we're going to come back to this shortly enough and understand the base amount a little bit better. Anyway, but the Gemara's point is as follows. It's very simple. You're telling me that the exchange being described in the Braisa is spending allowance against Mosar. It's not true. The Braisa just got done telling us what is the base amount. Certainly, it sounds like from the Braisa that the Ma'akesef is against the base amount. So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamer masi adek kama have delay da mosar dida kama mishka chamesh line shesi biyehuda shein esus line begalo." Gemara says, "No, you know how you understand the brisa. Really, the spending money that he gives there is in exchange for the mosar. You know how to figure mosar? First, you have to know the base amount. Only when you know the base amount, then you'll know what the mosar is." So the only reason why the Bryce is identifying what the base amount is so that you'll know anything above that is considered Mosar, which is what the exchange is for the for her spending allowance. Okay. Adkan, that takes us now to the... All right, so what we've done in the last 20 lines of Gemara since the bottom of the previous Amud is we've analyzed the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that when a husband is Makdish, the Mosar of his wife, so it becomes Kadosh. So the question is when? Your two choices are, they're not choices, but the two opinions amongst the Amoraim are either after she's dead or even while she's alive. And what's that issue over here is that he's giving her the spending allowance, and the only question now is, sorry, he's giving her, I was wrong, he's giving her mizonos, and now it's just, the only question is the mizonos correspond to her productivity, or does it correspond to the surplus of her productivity? Okay, Adkan. Amr Shmuel Alachi Rav Yochanan Sandler. So now Shmuel says, and I know, and I'm ruling that the halacha over here follows like Rav Yochanan Hasandler. Rav Yochanan Sandler says that when he's makdish his wife's productivity, so the base amount does not become kadosh, and the surplus also does not become kadosh as well. Okay. Umi Amr Shmuel Hachi. Now the Gemara is bothered by the following. Okay, now take a look at an important Rashi over here. Umi Amar Shmuel Hachi. Rashi is a little bit above where we are in the Gemara. Rashi writes, "V'Amar Shmuel El B'Mosar La'acha Misa Pligi." So, first of all, Shmuel, remember we just got done saying that according to Shmuel, when is it exactly that the surplus becomes kadosh? According to Rav Meir, it's only going to become kadosh after his wife dies, right? That's what we said about 20 lines ago. And Rashi says, "V'Allah Amar Rav Yochanan Sandler Chulin." Now, you have to assume. Now, admittedly, that was Shmuel's explanation of Rav Meir. But again, Rav Meir is arguing with Rav Yochanan Sandler. The way we're going to explain Rav Meir is going to be the same exact way we're going to explain Rav Yochanan Sandler. Now, that means then that after the death of his wife, it still does not become, it does not become kadosh. Rav Meir says it does, Rav Yochanan Sandler says it doesn't, and Shmuel says that the halacha falls like Rav Yochanan Sandler. Why doesn't it become kadosh? Rashi goes on to say, "V'afa b'dahashti didehu ama taima de Rav Yochanan." Now, I'm sorry. That's an important line, and let me go over that slower. "V'afa b'dahashti didehu." Now, when his wife dies, so who does it all belong to? It all belongs to the husband. The husband inherits whatever was owned by his wife after his wife is dead. Yerusha Sabal. So the husband inherits his wife, so it all goes to him. So let's think about this now. While his wife was alive, it didn't belong to him. That's true. And he attempted to be makdish. Okay. After his wife dies, and now it goes to him, shouldn't it become hektish immediately? So Rav Yochanan Sandler says, no, it doesn't. Shmuel says, that's the halacha. Why? So now let's read on in Rashi. Ama taima de Rav Yochanan mishum davar shelo ba la'olamu. It must be that what Shmuel is saying really is, and this is where he argues with Rav Meir, who we discussed earlier this morning, he sides with the position Ein Adam Makna Davar Shelo Bala Olam Shadai La Mesa. Because when he said that the Moser was going to become Kadosh, his wife was alive. So in other words, at that point it doesn't become Kadosh, and it doesn't become Kadosh at a later point as well. Ve'ein lo reshus b'moser hoveinu ma'ala ma'kesef. Now remember, he's not giving her the ma'kesef, he's not giving her the spending allowance. Therefore he's not getting the Moser. Uvahar ma'shmuel halacha. And Shmuel says that's the halacha. So really, if we distill the entire statement of Shmuel, when he's saying that the halacha is like Rav Yochanan Sanal, what he's really saying is, Ein adam makna davar shelo bala olam. That's really what it boils down to when you distill it. So, to which now the Gemara is bothered by the following. We know a Mishnah in Nedarim. The Mishnah in Nedarim goes as follows. Let's say the wife is a little bit upset with her husband and she says, that's it. I have to be productive. I know that my masay adam go to you. But you know what I think right now? I don't think I'm going to say it. My masay adam belong to the is going to be usher to you via through a neder. She makes a neder on her masay adam. Now we know that the husband has the ability. We know that the husband has the ability to annul the vow of his wife. So konim shani osalafir. The Tanakhama says he doesn't even have to exercise his right to annul it, because she has no right to even make a neder on that, as it doesn't belong to her; it belongs to her husband. Rabbi Akiva omer yafir shematadif alav yosem and aroi. Rabbi Akiva says no, the husband should annul that vow, because it's true she has no way to affect that base amount of productivity to her husband. But she may make most, or she may make surplus, and that surplus belongs to her. So Rabbi Akiva says he should annul the vow. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri omer yafir shem yigarshena v'teyastur lachzor. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says no, he should annul it. And the reason why he shouldn't annul it is because maybe they're going to get a divorce, and when they get a divorce, so who does that all that productivity belong to? Belongs to her, to Esther Lachzor, and then he won't be able to marry her again. Because now her neder will be enforced, and all that which she created is going to become.
Why couldn't she have charatza and
all that? Meaning yes to all that, but right now we're just dealing with the repercussions of her making that neder.
Right.
Okay, we're just going to deal with that, and you'll see why we're focusing strictly on that. The Amar Shmo Halacha Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, and the halacha follows like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So the halacha follows like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So wait a second. So now the Gemara is saying, so now Shmuel seems to be crossing himself. On one hand, Shmuel says in our Mishnah, the halacha falls like Rav Yochanan Sandler. Like we went through that very critical Rashi. Rav Yochanan Sandler is predicated on the idea that Ein Adam Makna Davar Shelo Bala Olam. And meanwhile, in that Mishnah in Darim, what do you say? The halacha is like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. What did Rav Yochanan ben Nuri say? Then when a wife makes a neder on her ma'aseh adayim, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says her husband should exercise his right to annul that vow. Why? Because they may end up getting a divorce. And if and when they end up getting a divorce, so her neder will be chal. What do you mean? That's a future event. How can a neder she makes while she's married take effect at a later point in time? That's a davar shelo bala olam.
That was like a gezeirat rabbanan to safeguard against something. He wasn't really addressing the issue from her.
No, but it's something which currently is not hers, but in the future will be hers. The neder she makes currently will affect the future. That's predicated on the idea of Adam Makna Davar Shelo Bala Olam. Just hear it out. In other words, let's.
The husband cannot annul any prior neder of.
We're not talking prior. She
one.
Makes no. We're not talking prior. She's making a neder right now. Yeah. My say adaim are prohibited to you. That's her neder.
Right.
To which Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says, okay, he should exercise his right to annul, because they may get divorced, and then there will be a chalos, then there will be an effectiveness of her neder.
But when he gets married again, it's a new marriage.
That part doesn't. Meaning, you're right, but the point is, it's a new marriage. The point is, her neder will take effect later when it can take effect. Even though currently, in the current state right now, it can't take effect.
But since the husband is
married,
cannot cancel it?
No. No, you're right, correct. Right. The marriage is not the issue. The issue is her neder. She's making a neder right now. Right now, it can't take effect because she doesn't own her Masi Adayim. But when they get a divorce, they can't take effect. And according to Rav Yochanan, according to Rav Yochanan Nuri, it will take effect. And that's predicated on the idea of Adam Makna Davishal Balalam. And Shmuel says, Allah is like Rav Yochanan Nuri. So now, we have Shmuel passing like two different Rav Yochanans. And they're not in agreement with one another. Shmuel says, Allah is like Rav Yochanan San Larvar Mishnah, predicated on the principle of in Adamak Nadavishallah Balaolam, and yet he's also passing like Rav Yochanan Nuri in the Mishnah and Darim, which is predicated on Adamak Nadavishallah Balaolam. That's the problem. The Gemara goes on to try to resolve the problem. So the Gemara right now, here's attempt number one. Well, maybe when he said the Allah is like Rav Yochanan Nuri, he was only talking about the surplus but not the base amount. Gemara says, really? So first of all, if that's what Shmuel meant, why didn't he say it? Meaning he's issuing a ruling. So he should have been clear about what he was saying. Or, how about this? How about he just simply say the halakha is not like the Tanakama? Or, how about this? Meaning, if that's what Shmuel meant, you know what Shmuel was really saying? He was saying that the halakha is like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the one who made that exact point, that he should exercise his right to annul the vow because of the surplus.
Right.
If Shmuel was talking about the surplus, so then just simply say, hey, the halacha falls like Rabbi Akiva. Elam Rav Yosef, so the Gemara says, okay, Gemara is not ready to entertain that suggestion. Gemara now is ready to entertain a different suggestion. Elam Rav Yosef Konamis Kamar Shani Konamis Mitoch Shadam Oster Peros Chaver Alav Adamak Tish Davar Shalab Ala Olam. Rav Yosef has a fantastic idea. Now I say fantastic because A, it is fantastic, but I say fantastic also in the sense of it's a stretch, as the Gemara itself was about. I'm not editorializing. The Gemara is about to say that as well, but it's a stretch. Look, in the world of Neder, you could do some amazing things with Neder. For example, let's say I own an item, and Ben, you know, I feel like I don't want you to get any benefit from this item. I prohibit the item to you. Check. I could do that in the world of Neder. Let's say you own an item, and I feel like, you know what? I have a temptation. I want to resist my temptation. I can make an item that belongs to you, usher to me. I could do all that in the world of Neder. Now, mind you, I can't do that by objective hekdesh. Meaning, what can I consecrate? I can only consecrate something that belongs to me. I can't consecrate something that doesn't belong to me. In the world of Neder, there's a Chiddush HaTorah. The Chiddush HaTorah is, I can make a Neder on something that belongs to me to make it Aser to you. I can make something that belongs to you Aser to me. I could do all that in the world of Neder. That's just a fact. I could do that. To which now the Gemara says, this is Rav Yosef's proposal. So you see that what the Torah tells us in the world of Neder is chidushim. There's a novelty. So you know what? In the world of Neder, maybe there's another novelty as well. And that is I can create a Neder on something that's not yet in the world. Meaning you can normally hold Ein Adam Makna Davishal Abala Olam, but in the world of Neder, as long as the Torah is introducing us to chidushim, so maybe there's another chidush as well. I can make a neder on something belonging to me. I can make a neder on something belonging to you as it relates to me. I can also make a neder on something that doesn't yet exist in the world. That's what Rav Yosef now would like to suggest. Amale Abaye. So Abaye says, that was great, but that was too great. That was a chiddush, that was too big a chiddush. Amale Abaye Bishlam Adam Osa Peros Chavero Lav Shekin Adam Osa Peros Tavach Chavero. Look, I understand. I can make your items asur to me. I can make my items asur to you. But yeyasar davar shelo bala olam achavero shekein ein adam osur peros chavero chavero. But Abai says to Rav Yosef, you know there's a limit. Meaning, how about I say the following? Ben, all the apples you own are prohibited to you. Right? Does that work?
No.
Not even in the world of Nedarim does that work. Meaning, in the world of Neder, yes, it's true there are chidushim. But I can't go all the way to the extent of saying something you own are going to be prohibited to you. That doesn't work. Even in the world of Nedarim, that doesn't work. So Abai says to Rav Yosef, so you see we have a cap on Chiddush. So I'm not ready to include the idea of Davar Shelo Bala Olam in the world of Neder. Okay? So the Gemara is going to leave that train of thought. New train of thought. Again, how can Shmuel rule like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri in that Mishnah in Nedarim, but at the same time hold like Rav Yochanan Sanlar in our Mishnah, who holds in Adamach and Devashla Balolam? Elam Ravuna Bred Rav Yeshua Baruch Zikachi Yadai La Osehim. The Yadaim Isnu Baolam. You know the Mishnah in Nedarim, you know what she says? She says she's not being Makdish her productivity in the sense of that which she produces. She's being Makdish her hands. So v'chi ka'amra hachi mimikadcha hamishabdalei. So the Gemara says, interesting. She could be mikadish her hands. What are you talking about? Now it's true that the hands belong to her. That part's true. But they're meshuba to the husband. The husband has a lien on her hands. Meaning, as part of the institution of marriage, the Chachamim instituted, that he has to support her, and in exchange for that, anything she makes with her hands belong to him. So he doesn't own her hands, but he has a shibud on her hands. Damar l'chi megarsha. So the Gemara says, okay. So you know what she says? She says, you're right. Right now, obviously, I can't affect that which I make with my hands. But her neder is that when I get a divorce, so then anything I make from that point in time is going to be also to that man, who was once my husband, but no longer. Gemara says, now wait a second. You can't do that. So again, we're everything right now is assuming that Shmuel holds Eina Damachta Davish Labala Olam. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elai, Alam Allah, Ilu Amar Lechavero, Sadazushani Mochalach, Lekesh Ekachenim Imchati Kadesh, Milo Kasha. So the Gemara says, wait a second. How about this? I own a land, I sell it to Ben, but before I sell it to Ben, I say the following. Now I know it's a kooky statement, but I say the following. Look, I own the land right now, I'm selling it to you, but I'm going to buy it back from you, and when I do buy it back from you, it's going to become kadosh. So you could do that. That works. So Maskover of Yirmiyami Dami Asam Yad Lakti Shah, Hacha. Ain Biyado, I'm sorry, Lakti Shah, Hacha Ain Biyado Lagarisha Satsma. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Those cases are not comparable. The case of the sale of the field, right now I own the field. It's in my power, it's in my ability. So I could be Maktishit at a later point in time, because right now I currently own it. The woman cannot say that when I get a divorce, my Maisi Adayim are going to be usher to him. It's not within her ability and control right now to affect that gerushin. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, if anything, you know what's more comparable? It's more comparable to right now I don't own a land. You own the land. And I say, when I buy the land from you, the land immediately will go to Hekdesh. It's not going to happen. I don't currently own the land. After I buy the land, I can make the statement. But I can't make the statement right now. So the Gemara says, wait a second. That's also not a great comparison. Because look, in the case where you own the land, you own land and the produce that it yields. So obviously, anything I say about the land right now has no effect because I have no connection to the land whatsoever. But when it comes to a woman in her hands, while she's married, it's not that the husband owns the hands, he owns the yield, he has a shibud, but he doesn't own the hands. So the Gemara says, Halodami, Ella Lama Lechavero. So the Gemara says, really, if you want to make a good comparison between a wife and her hands during marriage, and a field, so the better way to compare would be the following. Let's say right now we mortgage a property. I borrow money, it's like basically anytime we buy a house. I borrow money, and the land is going to be mortgaged against that loan. When I, and here we're referring to the land as a mashkon, it's like a collateral. In other words, but it's mortgaged against the loan. When I redeem, meaning when I satisfy my debt, tikdish. I want the land to go straight to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Kadeshah, there, somebody else has a lien on the property, but I have every right to be makdish the property because I own the guf hadavar, I own the property itself. So the woman, when she's married, isn't that basically the same? She owns her hands. The yield of the hand is obligated to her husband. But she owns the hands. So much like in the case of the mortgage property where the owner can say that when I satisfy the mortgage, it's going to belong to Kadosh, and that's an effective statement. So can't she do the same thing with her hands? So maska for Rav Shisha, Bereder of Idi Midami. Hasam Yadal of Dosa Hachem Yadal Lagar Shatzma. It's not comparable. When it comes to a mortgage, you can prepay. Right? Most mortgages nowadays don't have any penalty. You can satisfy the mortgage anytime you want. So it's biyado. The woman, it's true. In terms of the way the construct of her hands works, it's true. She owns the gufa davar. He owns the parasa davar. That's true. But she can't satisfy the... She can't get out of it anytime she wants. It's not biyado. So hachem biyadal garishatma halodami elalom lechaver sadezesh mashachti lach lesser shanim lecheshabtenem imcha tikadesh dekadesha. So the Gemara says it is more comparable, if anything, to a 10-year mortgage where you can't get out of it early. So maskel v'ravashi midami asam lesser shanim miyam biyadol liftosach and miyadol garishatma. Again, the Gemara says that's also not a good comparison. In a 10-year mortgage, here's what you know. After 10 years, you can then satisfy the mortgage. As it relates to a wife, after 10 years, still it's not within her power to get out of the marriage. So you can't compare the two. La olam amar Rav Ashi konamus kamar shani konamus dikdusha saguf nenu uchid rava. So the Gemara comes down to, and I knew the Gemara was going to get here. I mean, when I say I knew, meaning even before I prepared the Gemara. Like in other words, I knew this was going to be the punchline. We saw this. You see on the side of the Gemara. The Gemara says this a number of times. And that is as follows. Look, let's, again, what are we looking at? We're looking at the hands of the wife. The hands of the wife objectively belong to her. She owns the gufa davar. The husband has the rights to the yield of those hands. She's making a neder. And Shmuel says, Allah is like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Because if and when she gets a divorce, the neder is going to be chal. How can the neder be chal? In other words, at the future, how can the neder be chal? Answer goes like this. Kedushas haguf ninu chedurava dama rava hektish chametz v'shichra mafkin midei shibud. Three things break a shibud. Meaning normally shibudim are unbreakable. When I have a lien on somebody's property, he sells that property, I still have that lien on that property. His sale is not going to negate my lien. Three things in halacha negate a shibud. Hetesh, chametz, and shechor, right, as we approach Pesach. So, in other words, chametz on Pesach, let's say I borrowed money, I secured it with chametz, along comes Pesach, you know what happens? The iser chametz is going to break the shibud, meaning the chametz no longer serves as security. And let's say I borrow money and I use one of my slaves as security. And I free him. Breaks the shibud. There's no longer a shibud. By the way, I still owe the debt. I hope I'm clear about that. Of course I still owe the debt, but there's no longer a shibud. And the same thing is true on Hektesh. On Hektesh, when I'm Makdish something, it releases the shibud from it. So, when the wife makes a neder, the reason why it works is because she owns the gufa davar. He only has a shibud on it. She's saying it's going to be hektesh. Hektesh breaks the shibud. Which we only have one more question to ask and answer. I appreciate your patience. I know I went over. So mafkin mide shibud. V'nikdushu mehashta. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's true, so why doesn't the neder take place effective immediately? Meaning she owns her hands. He only has a shibud on the hands. She's declaring her hands hektesh to him. Why not take place immediately? Answer. Amur Rabban l'shibudei debal ki heched dolo tiktish mehashta. So the Gemara says, when they're married, it's true the husband has a shibud, but a strong shibud, or as you probably would guess, I'd say, a super shibud on her hands. In other words, the chachamim strengthened, reinforced the husband's shibud on her hands, so that her hands are not going to. She won't. Even though normally hektish breaks the shibud, not a marriage shibud, not a maisi adaim shibud. That's a super shibud that is unbreakable. But in principle, the shibud is broken. And when I say in principle, how does that manifest? Because if and when she ever gets a divorce, so then her neder is going to be chal, and her maisi adaim, meaning her hands, are going to become prohibited to that man, her ex-husband. Okay, back over here. Tomorrow we pick it up for the Mishnah. Okay.
When I understand the beautiful world,